Hello and welcome to this new episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Before we go on with this week's interview, I invite you to go and read my blog at marketingtocrushyourcompetitorspodcast.com/blog. And I tell you about the power of the interview, how to make an interview memorable, and the biggest mistake to avoid when interviewing someone for your podcast, for your blog, for your upcoming book. So either if you're a podcaster, a blogger, or an author. So marketingtocrushyourcompetitorspodcast.com/blog. Marketing to Crush Your Competitors Podcast, episode 247.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
And Loli talks about leadership. What is between ourselves and our greatness? Are we all leaders, or is something that you learn along the way? Are you born a leader, or you become a leader? Can everybody be a leader? All these questions she answers during this very deep episode, actually. You'll feel uplifted. You'll feel thankful. You'll feel as you have to reflect on your abilities, your qualities as a leader, the influence you want to have in the world, and your true personality and true self. It's our own responsibility to dig in and see what we have in order to influence others and become leaders. So without any ado, let's go with this interview with Loli Daskal. What's up, All-Star team? Welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, I'm delighted to have Loli Daskal on my show. She's the founder and CEO of Lead From Within. She's one of the most sought-after executive leadership coaches and business consultants worldwide. She works with a blue-chip roster of clients, from C-suite executives and Fortune 500 companies to government leaders to entrepreneurs to nonprofits. And she brings her expertise to her work that is grounded in behavioral and psychological principle. Loli has received many honors and accolades, including being named one of the top 50 leadership and management experts on Inc. magazine. So Loli, welcome to the show.
So happy to be here. We've been planning this for so long, and now it's finally happening.
Woohoo! So I'm curious to know, Loli, just starting up here. So when do you feel that in your life you've told yourself for the first time, I think that I have what it takes to become a great leader?
Oh, what a great question. You know, this is the truth. I'm going to be very transparent. I really believe I'm a work in progress. Uh-huh. I really believe that at any given moment, if I've reached some part of myself, which I call greatness, which I call success, uh-huh, then I'm always wanting to take myself to the next level. I'm going to share with you a little ritual that I have, and it's going to show you how I've never really say, oh, I've arrived as a great leader.
Okay.
Because every single night, and I've been doing this for more than 27 years, I ask myself, Loli, what did you do great today? And it's a great ritual because it reminds me that I have done something wonderful in the day. And usually we're always thinking about all the negative things that we've done. Mm-hmm. But for me, it reminds me, okay, I did something great today. And then what I do is I have a two-part to that question. I say, Loli, what can you do tomorrow to be better than you were today? You know, and mm-hmm, so I'm always trying to take myself to the next level. So when did I know that I've arrived to be a great leader? I'm still getting there, because every single day and every single tomorrow is trying to be better.
That's very interesting. And you know what it makes me think about? Every night before my son goes to bed, we had done this board of focusing on what he's done good at school or with his friends or in his life during that day. And whenever he says something, and we just write it down on a post-it and we pin it on the board. And it's funny because you're saying that as a leader, that this is something you've been doing for a while, like for 27 years. So I just hope that my son still does that when he leaves the house.
Can I tell you something that you might not realize? Let's foreshadow into the future. Mm-hmm. The reason why I do this and I ask all my clients to do this is because most people, and this is research, 99.9% of individuals who are very high achieving, they suffer from the imposter syndrome. Mm. And the imposter is someone who has self-doubt about themselves. They say, I can't do this. I'm not worthy. I'm not smart. So if you start a ritual where you constantly are you know, tallying up and writing down and journaling all the things that you do well, the imposter syndrome doesn't have so much power, because you could actually say, I do things well. Mm-hmm. This is what I've done well. So you're teaching him an excellent skill, an excellent, excellent skill.
Thank you for that. Well, I'll make him listen to this interview that we're having right now.
And could you make my adult children listen to this too?
Sure, no problem. Just send me their emails afterwards.
Okay.
So, Lolly, I know that next month you're launching the book, The Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness. And I'm curious to know why you're launching it now, because you've worked with a lot of people. And is it because you've seen with your experience that this gap is more and more obvious and that leaders need to know how to embrace greatness finally?
Oh, wow. What an great question. So here it is again, true confession.
Okay.
So I've been wanting to write a book for 30 years, ever since I started my practice. I noticed that there was a pattern with individuals that was happening. And the pattern wasn't happening just to one person. It was happening to everyone. Okay. 3 decades later, the pattern has happened between thousands and thousands of people. Now, I've been wanting to write a book, but I also write 1,000 articles a year, 100 articles a month. So I'm constantly writing. And when I wrote a proposal to write a book, I wrote something that wasn't that exciting, because the feedback that I got was, this is great, this is good, we like it, we'll publish it. And then there was one publisher who said, Lolly, you have sustainability as a coach for so long. What do you do? I said, well, I teach this system about archetypes. It's a Rethink system. And the Rethink stands for an acronym for 7 leadership archetypes that are within us. Mm-hmm. But for each one that will lead us to greatness will lead us to a gap. And they said, oh my God, that's a book. Write that in a book. And so is it about timing? No. Is it about someone saying you could do better? Absolutely. So I wrote the book about what I've been teaching leaders around the world for 3 decades.
Wow. And why do you think it took 30 years for you to launch your first book?
So because I'm busy working, because I'm busy helping and serving others, writing a book would take commitment. Mm-hmm. Writing a book would take, you know, allocating time. And if my whole thing, my whole business is about serving others, it was very difficult for me to say, okay, take some time off and now write a book. Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult writing a book. I had to take, you know, I shouldn't be saying this out loud, but because there's no life balance, but between the hours of 12 and 4, I would be writing this book. That's AM, not PM. And so I would work all day with my clients, be of service to my clients, do my ritual. What did you do great to help others? And then I would sit and write the book. And it took time. It took almost 18 months.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. And so you created that habit to sit down and write for those 4 hours day after day, and it took the time it had to take.
I believe in disciplined practice and anything that you do to give you the freedom to have what you want, to give you the goals that you want to achieve. So I believe in being focused and disciplined.
Great lesson here. And let's keep going, because this is great. We'll talk about the archetypes a little bit later, because I have a question about that. But you say, Lolly, that within each of us, we have two competing sides. So one leads to greatness and the other one not really. So how can people make that right choice to choose the right side? Is it obvious or it's kind of like difficult?
Again, brilliant question, because people ask me this question all the time when I say you have a choice to stand in your greatness or your gap. So what I would like to do, if you don't mind, I'd like to continue about what we talked about a little bit earlier and illustrate one archetype, and immediately you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay, is that okay?
Yes.
Cool. Okay. So let's take the first archetype in the Rethink model. Mm-hmm. The first archetype is the rebel. Mm-hmm. The rebel is someone who wants to make an impact in the world. They want to be the best marketer, the best business person, the best joint venture, whatever it is you really want to do, right? Mm-hmm. You want to make an impact. You want to make a difference. In order to do that, you have to have confidence. But this is very important to realize. Confidence isn't standing in front of a mirror and saying, I am the best. I am the greatest. I'm the only one that could make it happen. That's not confidence. True confidence is capabilities plus competence equal confidence. And that's where my ritual at night is so important. I have to remember, what are the skills that I have mastered? What am I really, really good at? Because that will give me the confidence to make an impact in the world. So that's very important. Hmm. But for every rebel who wants to make a difference, there is the gap. And the gap is of someone who feels like an imposter, someone who says, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough. And it comes from being fearful. It comes from having self-doubt about your competence. It comes from feeling that I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough. And when that is true, it costs us in our success. It costs us in being the best person we can be. So the question that I have for someone, do you want to stand in your greatness or do you want to stand in your gap? And that means, do you want to be the rebel with confidence or do you want to lead as an imposter who has self-doubt? And the great thing about knowing this system of the Rethink system is that any given moment you could ask yourself this question and then learn how to leverage the imposter within. It's not like you say, okay, I'm not an imposter. You say, yes, I feel like an imposter. Now, what do I need to do not to feel like one?
Hmm. Okay, so each time you are in front of this dilemma, then this is the question you need to ask yourself.
Right. It's a question that I have trained my clients to ask themselves. Do I want to stand in my greatness or do I want to lead from my gaps? The choice is always for them to choose.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because a lot of people have this impression or maybe false idea that leaders or people that strive with confidence never doubt or don't have that imposter syndrome, but you're clearly stating that working with so many people, you've seen that this is a constant with every leader. So everybody struggles with it. It's just a matter of choosing what they want to think of themselves and if they take action or not.
Yeah. And if you read the book, and first of all, the book is available right now for pre-order. So not that I'm launching next month, but it's available right now. And the thing about it is you get a peek into the highest level of every organization out there in the world. You get to sit in the boardroom and get to hear what leaders are thinking and struggling with. It gives you insight. And you know what it'll teach you? You are just like them. They have fears. They're not as brave. They have self-doubt. And then you learn what they did about it.
So they can either build great businesses or destroy them. So would you say that it's because it's from that choice that they make that they could destroy their own businesses or organizations?
Absolutely. I think anybody that leads with all the parts of the gaps, because we have parts within us, right, that are dark and light, if they lead from not their best selves, they could be destroying the very thing that they are so passionate about. And sometimes they don't even realize it. It takes an outsider to tap them on the shoulder and say, do you know that you're leading from your gaps? And they go, how? And then when you illustrate it to them and they say, wow, I never realized it. There's actually many stories in the book that leaders did not realize it, that their gaps were costing them in their business, in their most talented employees, and it was costing them in revenue. It was only when we illustrated how things are playing out for them that they say, I didn't even know.
And I have a question, like, since we're talking about leadership and the fact that all leaders have those two sides, then can everybody become a leader, or is someone born as a leader and then just learn along the way with life and experience to express that side? Because we all know that not everybody could start a business, for example, or be the boss or be the CEO, right? There are several people that can do that, but not everybody. So does it mean that if someone, let's say, has never been in a leadership position or have never done anything like that, starting a business or being on top of something, is it possible for that person to, or that person needs a certain amount of qualities or traits in order to become a great leader?
I'm so happy you asked me that question, because one of the things that I believe the definition of a leader is that if you are influencing someone, if you are impacting someone, then you are a leader. And that means you don't have to be a CEO. You don't have to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. You can be a mom, a dad, a sibling, a parent. You could be anything in your life. You could be a coach of a team, anything. You are a leader. Just think, look inward. How many people have said to you in your lives, anybody that's listening, wow, you made a difference. Wow, that really meant something to me. That means you are a leader. So I just want to say and preface that. So I believe the way I work, and I have been in my business for so long, that I come upon leaders every single day. Maybe you might not realize that you're making an impact, but maybe it's time, like my company's called Lead From Within, maybe it's time to reflect and ask yourself, how do I lead? Because everybody leads, everybody influences, everybody makes an impact. So that's number one. So no matter where you are in your business, you're a manager, you're a boss, you're an employee, you can lead. You just have to step into your own greatness. And so that I really wanted to preface. Is that okay, just to make that clear?
Sure.
So the second part of your question, if you could ask me again, because I was so itching to tell you about what I think leadership really is. What was the second part of the question you wanted me to answer?
Oh my God, I'm wondering if I remember, but it has to do with are you born as a leader, or it's something that you become with life and experience?
Right. So it's good that you're distinguishing that. So as we know, there's some people that you meet are very charismatic and some people are not. But that doesn't mean that they can't be. So again, if you go back to the definition of what I believe a leader is, that everybody can make an impact and everybody can make an have influence. So I think of it this way. There are leaders out there that you know instantly they are leaders. But then there are people that I call the gentle warriors. They are the quiet ones. And you don't even know what they're doing, but they're doing great things out in the world.
Yeah.
So I believe that when we are born, we can be born as extroverts or introverts. I'm an introvert. I'm a very shy person. But I know on a given day that I'm having an impact. So I consider myself one of those gentle warriors that are out there in the world. So I might not all of a sudden, somebody might say, oh, Lolly's a leader. No, they might say, oh, she's the quiet one. But I know inside that I have a leadership role. I have influence and impact. Does that make sense? So I believe that everybody could have it, but we're all different.
It does make sense. And I'm sure that right now, the person listening, if she or he wasn't really sure about his or her leadership abilities, well, you just convince that person that it's within them. So must feel very good.
See, I believe, I have to be very honest, I believe that greatness lies within everybody. But the thing is, not everybody knows this about themselves.
True.
And not everybody knows how to choose it for themselves.
True.
So that's why this book is so great, because it teaches you how to choose it, how to leverage it.
And it's funny because it makes me think also about, let's say someone that you know that person is very talented or very good at doing something, but they don't believe that they are. So as long as they don't believe that they are, or own it, or try to to go to that next level with that talent, then nothing happens with that. So it's same thing with the leadership. As you're saying, it might be there, but people might ignore it or think they're not leaders. But as soon as they recognize that, hey, this potential is within me, then there's no limit.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. You couldn't have said it better.
So we're almost to the end already. I'm so like, my gosh, we would have talked about this for hours. But I'm curious to know your opinion on that. What is the link from your point of view between listening and leadership? Do you feel that the two are related?
Oh, I love that question. That's such a great question. I've never been asked that. I was actually on a podcast early this morning to the UK at 6 a.m. my time. I'm in New York. And one of the things that I said is exactly what you just asked me. I said that most leaders are about doing and they're about moving, right? They're always about growing.
Yeah.
But I think the best leaders, in my book, they're called navigators. And what does a navigator do? A navigator is very good at listening of what's happening around you. And it's happening around the organization, it's happening around them. And by listening, they can be very good at steering other people, at guiding other people. Now, listen to what I just said. There's a big distinction here. Mm-hmm. Leadership is listening, but it's also guiding.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about the gap of this. This is very important because it answers your question. The gap of the navigator is a fixer who becomes arrogant. And the fixer is not busy listening. What they're doing is busy wanting to solve your problem. So you come to them, right? You're the leader. You know how to solve problems. Someone comes to you and says, I have a problem. And all of a sudden you say to them, do this, do that. I did it before. Do it my way. That's how you need to do it. And when you talk to someone like that, you end up sounding arrogant. Mm-hmm. People are really turned off. You're really disempowering people. So if you want to be a leader, a true leader, and you want to empower people, you need to listen. You need to then guide them in a way that is open-ended questions without really telling them what to do. Leaders that tell people what to do without really listening to them is not true leadership. So the answer to your question in the shortest way is true leadership. The greatest leaders know how to listen.
And it's funny because you answered that next question I wanted to ask you that I had in mind while you were speaking was, do sometimes leader make choices against other team members, or, you know, they decide to do something, but they're the only one in the organization or in the business that decide to go this way. And because they're the leader, everybody has to execute. So does that work or it doesn't from what you just said?
So any leader that thinks because they know it better than everybody else is going to lose their best people, their most talented people.
Mm-hmm.
And as everybody knows, you need great people to have a great organization, to have a great business. If you are going to lead from top down and say it's my way or the highway, people are not interested in that. You hired people for their skills and their capabilities. Allow them to shine. Steve Jobs, who was a brilliant, brilliant person, do you know what he did? He hired A-plus people, meaning smarter and better than he was. Why? Because then he could learn from them and be better than he is. The best leaders get people, surround themselves with people that are better than they are. And so if you want to be a true leader, stop telling people what to do, start listening, get input, and make it more of a group decision. Decide together, because there are many people smarter than they are. Mm-hmm. And a leader doesn't need to know everything. A leader should be a great listener and a great learner.
And that's a great way to end this, Lowly. And I also found on your website, well, the first, your quote actually, that is on top of your website, which is, we are here to be our most valuable. And I think that it sums up everything that you just shared with us on this interview. So thank you.
You're so welcome.
So if people want to connect with you, Lowly, or if they want to buy the book, where should they go?
So I am urging every single person who wants to find greatness within themselves, please go to theleadershipgapbook.com. And do that today, this moment that you're listening to the podcast, because I have some really beautiful bonuses. Even if you buy one, if you pre-order one book, you get an assessment that most people usually pay $97 for. It's free. So go to theleadershipgapbook.com. And if you're not interested in buying the book, that's okay. You can always find me at lollydaskal.com or on Twitter or on LinkedIn. I really like to connect to people, so find me and talk to me and tweet me.
All right. Thank you so much for such a pleasant interview and filled with, I wouldn't say hope, because it has nothing to do with hope. I think it's just what we are as human beings and our full potential that we need to express. So I think it gives a lot of, it gives a lot of push to people that might maybe sometimes be shy to just embrace their leadership side.
I love it. So if we influenced and we inspired someone today, we have made an impact.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. I loved it. Thank you. Thank you.
I told you this would be a great episode. So I'm sure that you're reflecting. You're asking yourself, are you putting yourself in your way of becoming a leader, or you're actually expressing it fully and being a leader towards your community, your audience, in your personal life, in your business life, wherever? So as I told you at the beginning of this show, if you want to know more about interviewing, either you're a podcaster, you're a blogger, you're an author, interviewing can bring so much for your business. Not only will it help you connect with other entrepreneurs, so expand your reach, but also create unique content for your dear audience that you want to please and that you want to create great content for. So just go on my blog at marketingtocrushyourcompetitorspodcast.com/blog, and you'll read about that and learn a lot of stuff. So I hope that you had, again, a great week on your business. And if it was not so great, well, I hope that you evaluated what was wrong and what you had to correct in order to make it better. I'll see you again next week for another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care, right?